1 Peter chapter number 3 tonight, as you make your way back to your seats. We had a little slip a couple of weeks ago. Don and Sherry Booth had their anniversary on September 10th, and we did not get that in the bulletin. And so if you remember on Sunday to wish them a happy anniversary, and we apologize for that shortfall on our behalf. I believe that I'm on, guys. It says that I'm on, but maybe I'm not getting power. Should my light be green? It is green. I think we're all set. At least we're all set on my end as far as what I'm supposed to do. The receiver on the pulpit. It is not. It is now. I think we're set. All right. We're in 1 Peter chapter number 3, and we're in verse number 7 tonight. Verse number 7. And we're dealing with focuses for suffering believers. And in the context of that, of these scattered believers, Peter's constantly bringing things before them that they should be, that should have their attention. Things that they should be giving diligence to in their life. Maybe different things than what we think they should be giving their attention to. But Peter writes under the inspiration of God, so these aren't Peter's ideas. This isn't Peter's article. This is the Holy Spirit's words on what we should be focusing on when we are experiencing seasons of suffering. Last week, we looked at the instructions for the wife, and we traced that, really, that theme of submission in relationships to masters, in relationship to government, relationship to a husband-wife relationship. And we learned this, that submission wins. And we learned what submission is and what submission is not last week. But the primary point that he was getting to wives in those first six verses was that they would submit, that there would be an inner heart to fall into rank under their husbands, and that that would actually have great impact upon their husbands and upon others. Now we're reading verse number 7, and now Peter gets to the husbands. He begins, likewise, or just as I've instructed the wives, I have instruction for you husbands. And it says, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. One of the things that we learned here in this passage is that Peter is probably assuming that they don't have godly wives or husbands. The very fact that you may win your husband through your lifestyle, through your Christian and godly lifestyle, indicates that he was probably proposing that to people that he assumed had unsaved mates. That they should still fall in rank in that situation. And Peter is saying, man, if you cannot submit in this horrible relationship, and he gives that example in verses 21 through 24 that Jesus submitted in to people that he could have easily had victory over, he could have ruled over, he could have called 10,000 angels. If we can't submit in difficult relationships, then we can't be like Jesus, who gave us that example that we should follow in his steps. And he gets to the husbands, and he deals with the husbands, and he gives them four different things in verse number 7 that I want to give to you tonight, husbands specifically. But I think there's something for all of us to learn. Number one, he says, dwell with them according to knowledge. Dwell with your wives according to knowledge. I think dwelling is important. Dwell with them. That means to live together. I don't think, with the exception maybe of physical abuse where life is threatened, that husband and wives ought to pull apart. I think the Bible's clear here. And these are tough times, by the way. These people are living in tough times. And Peter writes to them and says, dwell together. Husbands, dwell with your wife according to knowledge. Dwelling means to live together without being separated. To dwell with them means to have companionship with consideration. Dwell with them according to knowledge. Don't dwell with them like a dumb brute. dwell with them, understanding the nature of a marriage relationship according to the Bible. That's what he's dealing with here. Hey, marriage relationship, man and woman come together. Hey, they're two different people. Boy, they think differently. They come together to complement one another. They have biblical responsibilities within the context of marriage. Gentlemen, husbands, live with that understanding. Dwell with them with knowledge. Understand God's given us some background to this whole thing. And we're to live according to the book when we fulfill the role of the husband. That's what he's speaking about here. Companionship is one of the fundamental reasons for marriage. Our wives, in the context of marriage, deserve to hear from us. And they deserve for us to listen to them. That's companionship. That's one of the reasons why we get married. That's one of the foundations that God had for marriage, was that there would be companionship. Not loneliness. Not, I can't talk to him and he doesn't talk to me. That ought not to be a definition of a Christian home. Dwell together according to knowledge. Our society doesn't really encourage togetherness. We have lives that are filled with busy, and sometimes husbands and wives say goodnight when they go to bed, and that's about all that they talk about the whole day. Well, I hope your marriage isn't like that. I understand you go through peaks and valleys, and sometimes there's more to talk about than other times, but there's to be a companionship. There's to be a sharing with one another, just about the daily things of life. And yes, sometimes about those things that we're feeling inwardly, and fears and anxieties and concerns and burdens. And boy, if that ought to be shared, it ought to be shared in a marriage relationship. Dwell with them according to knowledge. Some of our young men are here tonight, and some of you have young marriages and things like that. I don't think you ought to be in a job where you're away from your wife all week long. I think it's a violation of Scripture. I think as you're considering a career, you're considering how you're going to work and where you're going to work and how you're going to provide for your family, I don't think you ought to be away all week long from your wife and then come home and visit her on Saturday and Sunday and be gone the next week. The Bible says dwell with them. You want to stay together, you have to be together. That's what the Bible's saying here. Be together. I think that's important. Gentlemen, just practically speaking, I think it's good to have dates with your wife. Preacher, that's weird. We did that before we got married. Really? Young couples, hand the baby off and have a date. That's a good thing. Constantly talk to people about, man, you put all your time into your children and then your children leave, you got empty nest and you don't have a developed relationship with your mate, it's going to be a real big adjustment, right? So keep that relationship. Dwell. Gentlemen, that's on the man's side of responsibility here. Likewise, men, make sure that you're dwelling with your wife according to knowledge. Encourage togetherness. Gentlemen, you ought to never underline, highlight, asterisk the word never. You ought to never consider leaving your wife. Biblically, you ought to never consider leaving your wife. Don't come and ask me, preacher, don't you think it's time to separate? Because I'm going to tell you no. Preacher, I'm thinking about divorce, and I'm going to say, no, you're not thinking about divorce. You can't think about divorce. You made commitments for life to your wife. And because you made those commitments, divorce, you separating, you leaving, is not an option. Be the right person in the relationship. Pour the right things into the relationship. Pray over the relationship. If it's not going good, you get a hold of God. You love your wife. You pour what you're supposed to pour into the relationship, but don't take the easy way out. Too many people doing that today. Too many Christians doing that today. God says, dwell with them. Dwell with them. Be considerate of them. Consider how God made your wife. He made her to be nourished. He did. Cherish and nourish your wife. What the Bible tells us. What does that mean? Oh, that means that God made her with those needs. The need to be loved and the need to be nourished. The need to be honored. Here he says, honor her in this passage. Give honor to her. God, you dummy, why'd you make her that way? No, God wasn't a dummy. God created her in His image. He created her wonderful, man, for you. But understand, dwell with her according to knowledge that there's some needs here. There's a nourishing need, and there's a cherishing need, and there's an honoring need. Fulfill those things. Ask the Lord. When I pray for my wife in the morning, one of the things I pray to the Lord about is, Lord, would you show me a way to love her today? I know I have a responsibility to love her, and she needs my love. And Lord, I don't always think of that. And Lord, I don't always know what the need is that's the greatest to meet in her life today. But God, I know that I need to love her. Help me, Lord, to know how to do that today. Dwell with her according to knowledge. Consider that He made her to be listened to. You've heard me say this before. It's a fact. On the average, women want to talk more than men do. You know who your wife wants to really listen to her? Her husband. If that is true, gentlemen, I'll give you a little insight. She won't talk to everybody else about her problems. She will talk to you. Isn't that the way you want it? Do you want her talking about all of her other troubles to everybody else? I mean, you want her talking to God, of course. But that means that you have to listen. She was made so that she could talk to you. He also made her to have no competition. There ought never to be in your wife's mind the thought that somebody else is competing with her for your time, for your emotions, for priority in your life. God made her not to be a competitor. God made her to be number one. Outside of the Lord, she's to be number one. Delight in her. We're talking about dwelling according to knowledge tonight. That's the biblical truth that's given here. Number two, give honor unto the wife. Look at 1 Peter 3:7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. The more understanding and wisdom that husbands have, the more wisely they will behave themselves in giving honor unto the wife. The word honor in the Scripture means precious. It means costly. It means to show that something is worth much to you. That it's prized. That it's important. You ever been to visit somebody's house and they have something that's been a family heirloom? That's been passed down and passed down and passed down and passed down. And you come to their house and they take you to it and they show you it and they give you the whole history behind it. You know, my great-great-grandma's, aunts, uncles, nephews, cousin had this and it was passed down and passed down and passed down and now it's in my house. What's special about that? I don't know. It stayed in the family all these years, right? That's what's special, but it's prized. It's valuable. They're probably going to will it to somebody else in the family so that it stays in the family. It's honorable to them. The Bible says here, husbands, that we are to give honor. That's an action. We are to show our wives the value that they are to us. Sometimes that can mean deferring to her desire or taste on something. There are certain things in our lives, me and my wife's lives, that she just has better taste about. There are sometimes that, you know what? What's your desire about this, honey? Let's just do what you want. Well, preacher, that's weak. No, actually, it's a way to give honor. It's a way to show her that what she wants is more important than what I want. Honor means she comes first before others. Honor under the wife means speaking well of her to others. Honor is asking for your wife's opinion, taking into consideration her viewpoint on things. Honor means you don't belittle your wife in public or in private. Honor is recognizing your success is a large part because of your wife. That's not easy for men to do. But it's giving honor unto her. Honor means you listen without interrupting. Honor unto the wife means defending her, not destroying her. Gentlemen, the instructions in a pressurized life for husbands and wives, which is Peter's writing to people that are living in pressurized situations. Husbands, dwell with your wife according to knowledge. Number two, husbands, give honor unto your wife as unto the weaker vessel. Honor her means that her desires and delights are things that you learn and you help her to fulfill in life. She needs to be handled with care. She needs gentle responses, not harsh reactions. She's more delicate than you. She's probably, in most cases, more emotional than you, gentlemen. She's more tender. She's more kind-hearted. Those things seem to come more natural for a woman to give out. But if she treats others that way and then she gets harsh treatment in return, and ill treatment and not so kind treatment in return, you understand she's delicate. God made her that way. Then let's treat with honor. Honor. You start treating your wife with dwelling with her according to knowledge and giving honor unto her under a weaker vessel, and I don't think she's going to slap you in the face and tell you to stop it. I think she'll notice. You know what? He's really putting work into this relationship. Notice thirdly, almost finished tonight. Second word, first word is cooperation. Dwell with them according to knowledge. Give honor unto the wife is the word cherished. And then the third point here is heirs together of the grace of life. And I put out to the side cooperation. We are heirs together of the grace of life. Did you know that husbands and wives stand on equal ground as far as the privileges of being a Christian and the privileges of eternal life? Well, preacher, she doesn't deserve... Wait a second. Before you go any further in that thought, did you know she's on the same ground as you are if she's saved? Did you know all the privileges that you're going to enjoy as a man with the Lord in communion on this side of earth, and God's care and watch care over you is available to her, and eternal life is just the same for her? That's what the Bible's saying. Heirs together. You better recognize she's not lower than you. She's not lesser than you. Before God, we're on the same plane. And so if we're going to be heirs together up there, we better learn to be together down here. Heirs together of the grace of life. That means, plain meaning here, that we should dwell together in peace. That both should know, husbands and wives should know and perform their biblical duties as husbands and wives. Brethren, from time to time, our husband-wife relationships turn into like two little kids fighting. And that should not be. We are grown adults. We have been taught in the Word as to what our responsibilities are, regardless of what's happening from the other side. It doesn't matter if my wife is treating me ill. You know what? My responsibility is to love her and give honor unto her and dwell with her and be heirs together with her of the grace of life. Regardless of how a man is treating a woman has her responsibilities before God. For us to not live in peace and not fulfill our responsibilities, brethren, it's a terrible testimony of the Lord's grace in our lives. We should avoid contentions. We should run from strife. We should deal with it inwardly. Let go of it. Release it to the Lord. Life's too short to hold on to all that stuff. Let go of it. Work together, not against. Not independent of. In marriage, we're partners. If you're in a Christian marriage, you have something more than vows that bind you together. It's Christ. We're heirs together of the grace of life. And then number four, that your prayers be not hindered. Careful. Guys, this is quite powerful. We live in a society where you're cut off. You ever talking to somebody and they go like this? You're talking and they're reaching. Just a second. Yeah? Uh-huh. One moment. I'll be done. Just a second. You're in a conversation and you get cut off. Right? And somebody else interrupts the conversation through the cell phone. That's what that last phrase means. You're going to God in prayer, but how you're treating your wife is cutting you off at the throne. You can't talk to God and treat her. Can I give you an insight that I have learned from working with men over the years in their marriages? There are men that are very frustrated in their marriages and they're saying this, "Preacher, I'm praying and I don't see any change." Did you ever look at this verse and say, maybe it's not the praying that needs to be done, maybe it's the changing that needs to be done so that I can pray? Because if you don't treat your wife right, God says, oh, just a moment. When you treat your wife right, come back to me. That's the meaning of the verse. Your prayers are hindered. Your prayers are cut off if you don't treat your wife right. That's how serious it is to God. I put down in my notes, that means when I don't treat my wife biblically, access is denied to God. Gentlemen, we don't want to live there. We do not want to live in a place where we cannot get through to heaven about things going on in our family, in our church, in our country, in our own personal lives, in our kids' lives. We need God. We need access to God. And so with that, we have instructions tonight for husbands. When relationships are strained and pressures become unbearable, go back to 1 Peter chapter 3 and remember, whoa, 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 whoa. God, before you, I need to treat my wife right. Lord, I need to follow what 1 Peter 3 says. And Lord, I haven't been doing that. Gentlemen, if you haven't been doing that, that's not something to talk to the Lord on Sunday about. That's something to talk to the Lord tonight about. Let's get back to it. Let's stay focused on what God says are the right things to do as a husband in the relationship. I believe in the pressurized world that we're living in, that if we're not reminded of these truths, like Peter reminded these believers, and we stray from these truths, you know what's going to happen? More pressure is going to be created within the most important relationships of our lives to where those relationships become extremely stressful. And you know what God had planned in all of eternity past? The world is stressful, but the home ought to be a retreat. It ought to be where love is expressed, where there's security, where there's harmony, where there's affection, where there's not voices raised and screaming going on and threats made and contention and all those things. Man, my home can be different. Your home can be different. But you got to follow God's way. You got to put your feet in that direction and start taking steps in Bible direction on your side of things, all right? We'll be right back.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.